Welcome in, everyone, and thank you for listening to the 291st ever episode of the Missouri Sports Podcast, brought to you by 106 Apparel and recording from the MSP Studio in beautiful Springfield, Missouri. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron Albert, alongside my good friend and fellow Mizzou fan, Kyle DeVries. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing great today, Cameron. I got a new job recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You ever had a big like career change or a big job change or anything like that?
I literally have not ever.
It's kind of a scary thing.
I believe it.
It's been very good. Mm-hmm. It's been good. It's been great. Lots of great people at my new job. But man, it's an undertaking.
I tried to change jobs once, had a different job for like a month, and then went back to the other job.
You went crawling back?
No, they crawled back to me. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I landed this job because they wanted me for all of my podcast secrets, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're going to start a podcast?
They heard we had a podcast, and they mm-hmm. wanted all the industry secrets, so.
They're going to be in for a rude awakening when you start spilling your secrets.
Hey, man. Not anybody can do it like the Missouri Sports Podcast,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I was thinking like the three of us combined, we maybe have three podcasting secrets.
Yeah. Like...
But we'll share them with anybody that's interested.
Total IQ of like 120 between the three of us.
Yeah.
Is that good or bad?
Yeah. Do you have any podcast secrets, producer Cameron? You are the producer after all.
Yeah, that's true. No, not really. Yeah.
One of you must have two of them. Watch Tom Buck videos on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I do that actually. I just looked at one today. We're going to try and use it.
We're going to use that video.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle, congratulations on your new job. And I hope you give them all the, I hope you guys' job podcast goes well.
Gonna do my best.
I'll subscribe to it.
Thanks.
Do you want to know what all we're going to talk about this week?
Yeah, I do.
Obviously, we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament finishing up and the news, the coaching carousel is going crazy. We got some Mizzou football transfers. And of course, we have the commitment of 2025 quarterback Matt Zoller. So we will get into all that. Before we do, don't forget you can subscribe on YouTube, leave us a review wherever you listen to us, and support us directly on Patreon, patreon.com/MissouriSportsPod. We'll kick it off here with the national championship games. The Final Four, all that stuff was pretty fun. UConn over Purdue in the championship game for back-to-back titles. Last year they won it as a 4 seed. This year they went 37-3 as the national champions.
Like totally different team too. Like they lost a lot of players from last year.
Yeah. Sent guys to the pros.
Yeah. So that's pretty impressive. I feel like, I don't know. Clearly UConn was the best team. They were the entire tournament. It's not like the most exciting brand of basketball, but they just like beat you in all the small details, and they're well coached. They play with a lot of discipline, and they play good defense, and they just wear you down.
People were talking about the championship game being like the two best teams all season long. I feel like people are forgetting about Houston, who I think was considered the best team in the country for a while.
Yeah, people forget about NC State.
That's true. Yeah, they were the best team in the country every time they beat Duke this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people sleeping on Houston a little bit, but I do agree that UConn and Purdue were like right there at the top of college basketball pretty much all year long.
Best player versus best team.
Yeah, definitely. And same thing on the women's side. Caitlin Clark versus undefeated South Carolina. South Carolina gets the win, 38-0. SEC. Were you rooting for Iowa?
I don't really know who I was rooting for. I couldn't really decide. Yeah. But yeah, I was just kind of in it for the entertainment factor.
Yeah, I feel like Caitlin Clark's super entertaining.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of parallel situations with her and Zach Edey being like the singular player that was attracting eyeballs. And then UConn and South Carolina being just like the most complete teams. With, you know, just like South Carolina, that team 38-0 is insane.
That's ridiculous.
And they just looked better at like four of the five spots on the court. I feel like UConn had a little bit of that too, where it's just like, okay, their wing players and guards are just overpowering Purdue. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the national championship game was, the men's game was officiated pretty well. Like they were letting them be physical, and but it didn't give one team a distinct advantage. And both teams were solid, but in the aftermath, I've been seeing a lot of clips of UConn's offense, and it's just very advanced for a college team. Like the sets they're running and stuff with like two post players screening for each other, but then one slips the screen and is wide open for a layup entry pass from the wing, and just really impressive stuff that it's hard for me to recognize it when I'm watching it live, but then seeing it, the breakdowns afterwards, it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, it was amazing like how few three-pointers there were shot in that game. It felt like very few three-pointers shot in the entire game, really, from both teams.
And not of those, not many went in.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. A lot of paint touches for both teams.
Purdue was 1 of 7 from three.
That's wild. Some old school game right there.
Zach Edey attempted 25 shots. And another 10 free throws. He had 37 points, but Dan Hurley said after the game, like that was their entire game plan, was don't like let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
He literally said like, if he shoots the ball 25 times, that's fine. As long as the other guys don't beat us shooting over the top.
Yep. I'd say they did that to a T.
What's your take on the Final Four being played in a football stadium?
It looks really impressive.
Yeah.
Like when they do kind of the full court view, like you see the whole crowd. Man, they just pack in so many people like in the lower bowl area. It looks really cool. On TV, it looks a little bit strange. Like you can tell like the depth perception is different.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've heard in the past that, you know, that legitimately can affect shooters and how they're seeing the rim. Maybe that was a factor with both of the teams combining for like 12 threes in the entire championship game. Probably not.
Yeah, UConn was 6 of 22.
Oh,
so
wow.
Only okay. 7 made threes in the game.
They attempted way more than I thought. But I don't know. I guess I don't really have any strong takes, but it is kind of interesting that, you know, you play the whole year in a basketball arena because it's made for basketball.
Yeah.
And then you just switch to a much, much different environment at the very end.
Yeah, I wish, I don't know. I feel like the football stadium thing, I'm not a big fan of it for like the basketball reasons that people talk about with sight lines and stuff. But also, I don't know, like if Mizzou was in the Final Four, I'd want there to be the opportunity to go see them, and a football stadium with more seats, maybe you get cheaper tickets out of that, but something tells me probably not. I don't know. I feel like having to watch a basketball game with binoculars is like not ideal.
Yeah, I've seen some of those, like, you know, it's like that was a foul, ref, like tweets, and it's like someone just taking a picture of, like a half a mile away from the court.
Exactly.
Yeah, that seems, I'm almost surprised that you can sit that far away from the court.
Yeah.
But
I do feel like from the TV perspective, the game being played,
it
like
looks
the stage
like a big
was
game.
Set
yeah.
so well.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting how much, like before, first of all, Dan Hurley, kind of a psycho on the sidelines. And we've seen that from coaches over the years. But he's, in that moment, he was like at another level of insane person.
Yeah.
He like walked out onto the court and touched a player at one point.
Yeah.
Like, gave his player a boost into the play. But anyway, I thought just the way the stage was set definitely put the coaches as part of the TV viewing experience. Like they had their little stool over there, and it was designed to make them a part of the show, basically, is the way it seemed to me. Mm-hmm. And he definitely took advantage. Back-to-back championships for UConn, though, is kind of crazy, especially last year they did it as the 4 seed, so they weren't favored necessarily. And I was just thinking back on like UConn teams from the time that I've been paying attention to college basketball. And one of the first like big college basketball memories for me is Emeka Okafor's UConn team that was a one seed, won the national championship. And I specifically remember me and a friend in like fourth or fifth grade having the newspaper edition of the bracket. Do you remember that? They would print the bracket in color.
Yeah.
A huge full side of the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And we were filling it out on the newspaper. And like, that's like a very special memory for me of that UConn team.
I do remember like filling out like physical brackets back in the day. Mm-hmm. And that was always kind of fun, like putting them up on the refrigerator and like highlighting the ones you got right or something like that. Okay, Cameron, let me ask you something that's really been on my mind lately.
Okay.
Why do they start the game at like 8:30 p.m.?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's terrible.
Central time. Like 9:30 Eastern.
Yeah. It's bad. It's on a Monday night, which I don't understand.
Yeah, they do that for college football too, right?
Exactly.
Like, what are we doing here?
I don't know. Like, but you're talking to someone who's in favor of moving the Super Bowl off of Sunday night to Friday or Saturday.
Oh, I mean, I don't think that's that crazy.
So
it's like, what can we find the least watched television window in the entire week? How about like late Monday night?
Yeah. Yeah. It does, I don't think it makes any sense at all. How late it is. The football game's the same way.
I didn't make it to the end.
Was barely hanging on. Yeah. And the fact that it was like not that close at the very end, I was like okay with just checking out. Exactly. But I kind of wanted to see like the fanfare of the moment when they win it. And, you know, the 10 minutes or so after that is like a special part of the NCAA tournament in my mind.
One shining moment.
Exactly. They're making you watch that at like 11:15 p.m. on a school night. What else? It got me thinking about UConn as like one of the obviously premier college basketball programs. And the fact that they've done it in my time of watching college basketball with three different head coaches now. Jim Calhoun was the coach of the Emeka Okafor team. I think he won three national championships all the way up to the Kemba Walker team was still Jim Calhoun. And then Kevin Ollie takes over, and he wins a national championship in year two with Shabazz Napier. And now we have, 10 years later, Dan Hurley going back-to-back with two pretty different rosters of NBA players, basically.
They're 6-0 in national championship games.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're at the top of my, like, currently in my lifetime and then currently for this moment, obviously, they're at the top of the college basketball world.
Yeah.
As far as like blue blood programs. And I was thinking about how they stack up, at least the teams that we've watched over the years. I feel like you have UConn, Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky, but Kentucky with just the one national championship in like 2012.
Like six first round exits.
Right.
In a row.
Duke with Coach K, multiple championships going back in that I can remember to like JJ Redick was like early memories. And then the most recent one, like Jahlil Okafor team. North Carolina, Tyler Hansborough.
Florida?
I wouldn't put...
They had two back-to-back in like 06, 07.
Yes, back-to-back championships.
That's kind of it, but the back-to-back just stands out for me.
For sure. But
Donovan.
Billy Donovan. Wow. We're going to segue into some stuff here real quick. Florida doesn't have it like... They're not coming back more recently with it. But yeah, that is pretty crazy. Talking about Kentucky and their one championship, John Calipari is not going to be the head coach at Kentucky, and of all places, he's going to be the head coach at Arkansas. And when I first saw rumblings of this, I thought surely this was a joke. And then when I realized this is serious, it just felt like, oh wow, this is just probably going to happen.
Yep,
because this wouldn't be coming out if this wasn't. Yeah. Serious.
Like neither side was doing anything to like squash the rumors.
Yeah.
it was just like, okay, I actually think this is happening. And then once that we were at that stage, it was pretty quick. I mean, this has got to be one of the strangest sports related like news stories, like personnel stuff I've heard in a really long time. Like,
yeah, that doesn't have just, like a just like purely negative shock value connotation to it.
So jarring to think of him really one not coaching Kentucky, but being at Arkansas, man, that is such a strange fit.
Well, Musselman goes to USC, getting back to the West Coast where he belongs.
Yeah, which, I mean, there's been rumors for months that Musselman was looking to get out.
Yeah.
And I think he has coached on the West Coast a lot. Mm-hmm. He just probably wanted to get back there. Yeah. That makes sense for him.
So I saw from a Arkansas Rivals reporter that, and the news started coming out about Arkansas players entering the transfer portal and asking out of their letters of intent, which automatically happens if you have a coaching change, basically. The Rivals reporter said there's zero players on the roster because they're either they're in the transfer portal or graduated, and there's zero players committed currently at Arkansas. They have zero basketball players.
Like, I'm like, let's go. Now, I met with the team. There is no team.
Right now.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
Right. But that means John Calipari is going to have every opportunity to rebuild that thing.
Well, you know, they've got the Tyson Chicken Empire.
That's true.
Backing him. So he's got all the money in the world to for his salary and also for NIL. And so it sounds like that money's going to be ready to go.
He's
going to
be, he's now Tyson Foods head basketball coach, John Calipari. It's official title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to boycott that.
He's
those
friends with them or something.
I don't know.
Yeah. I saw something about they're a huge Arkansas donor and he's like personal friends with Mr. Tyson Chicken. So it was a match made in heaven,
I guess. Wouldn't you want to be seen with a high roller like Mr. Chicken Man?
Absolutely. He's probably got private jets.
You want him in your circle.
Yeah. We go tour the factories.
See how the sausage made.
Yeah, chicken sausage. How quick will Kentucky make a move for their next head coach? I feel like they're not going to be wanting to wait around.
I don't know. But I saw, like, hypotheses coming out, like, before the move was even official. Like, okay, now who's gonna coach this thing? And obviously, they're going to swing for the fences.
Yeah, what does swinging for the fences look like? Literally Dan Hurley?
yeah.
I don't think he's leaving UConn. We already established they're at the top of the game. They're the best program in the nation.
Yeah, I don't know how much he's making at UConn, but he can probably name his price at this point.
True. Well, Jeff Goodman sent out a tweet saying that he polled four current SEC basketball coaches and gave them a list of six potential candidates that I guess he just made up. I don't think there's any like real ties to the job or any news about them, but he asked these four SEC coaches, who do you fear most as a potential Kentucky head coach between Nate Oates, Bruce Pearl, Chris Beard, all current SEC coaches, so I'm assuming he didn't ask them, Sean Miller, who's at Xavier, Scott Drew, who's at Baylor, and the aforementioned Billy Donovan, who is the head coach of the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, very random.
And before I reveal his rankings from these supposed SEC head coaches, I wanted to hear your rankings from those six guys. Who would you, as a Mizzou fan, most be afraid of being the head coach of Kentucky?
Yeah, I feel like I'm less afraid of the guys who are already in the SEC. I don't know. I feel like, you know, Nate Oates at Alabama, that's probably just as scary as Nate Oates at Kentucky.
Agreed.
At this point. Like, he has proven he will just get anybody he wants.
He's got all the resources he needs there.
Right. So that doesn't really make a huge difference for me, but I ranked Scott Drew number one as probably the coach I'd be most afraid of at Kentucky. He's been really, really good at consistently at Baylor. They won a national championship there a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And that seems like a pretty logical step for him, honestly. Like, that seems like a very reasonable candidate to be at Kentucky next year.
Other programs have, like, reached out to him over the years, and he's declined them every step of the way.
Yeah, just waiting for that big one to open.
This feels like one that could pull him away.
This might be it. Okay, so I cheated a little bit, and, well, I wrote in two names. One of those was Dan Hurley. If Dan Hurley was a candidate, I think he would actually be number one on this list for me. He would be the scariest. Mm-hmm. But I cheated again also, and I added Kelvin Sampson from Houston.
Okay.
And I think he would probably be number two out of these coaches. I would be pretty afraid of Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah.
He's been absolutely fantastic everywhere he's been, and especially Houston where he currently is.
But can't get over the hump.
Change
of scenery, maybe. Might be just what he needs.
Maybe so. But I did rank Nate Oates third, Chris Beard fourth.
Third in your cheating list?
Yes.
Okay.
Bruce Pearl fifth, then Sean Miller, then Billy Donovan. So I am the least afraid of Billy. Least afraid of Billy Donovan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe a hot take. Well, what the coaches said, supposedly, is they ranked Scott Drew first, then Bruce Pearl second, Nate Oates, Billy Donovan, Sean Miller, Chris Beard sixth. Chris Beard surely not actually being considered for this job. That would just be the craziest thing. Like, he's not spent two seasons anywhere in the last 7 years.
But he's been excellent everywhere he's been.
I guess so, yeah.
Honestly, this past season at Ole Miss was probably his worst year in Division I basketball as a coach, and he made them a pretty decent team.
Yeah. I agree with you, though. Scott Drew, it feels like exactly like what you said. I just, any of the guys like Nate Oates or Bruce Pearl, like switching to Kentucky, it's like, okay, you know, then it's up to their former school to hire someone that we're scared of to make it matter, really. But adding Scott Drew and then keeping all those other SEC coaches in the league is scary.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, do you put the SEC coaches up against anybody, especially if they added somebody like Bryce Drew?
Yeah, even Bryce Drew would be scary.
Oh my gosh.
If Scott he comes Drew. Over from Grand Canyon.
He was in the NCAA tournament.
They won a game. Yeah, he's a good coach.
Oh my gosh.
Vandy never should have fired him.
Exactly. They, yeah.
Not quite as good as Scott, though.
Got the raw end of the deal, man.
Yeah.
At Vanderbilt.
He comes back to Vanderbilt, and Scott Drew takes over at Kentucky. Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprised we haven't heard Dennis Gates' name with the Kentucky job.
Are you?
No.
Well, I mean, this time last season, legitimately Kentucky fans were looking at Dennis Gates.
Yes.
Because Calipari was not popular this time last year either.
Right.
Because of he's
just tournament failures.
They've not done well in the tournament.
Yeah.
And I do kind of feel like he's lost his step a little bit as far as like team building and stuff. Like I don't know. I'm not as afraid of Calipari as I would have been 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or 10 years ago even, but I don't know. We'll see.
I think that Arkansas was kind of already doing the thing where you just go get NBA players and see if you can make a run with them, and then they're gone. Mm-hmm. They were already basically doing that with Musselman plus transfer portal stuff. So I feel like...
I don't think things are going to look that different for them.
That's what I'm thinking. Yes, I agree with that. Which, I mean, he went to... They've been to two Elite Eights under Musselman.
Yeah.
So
actually...
I don't know. I think Kentucky fans are kind of nuts for wanting to move on from Calipari, but I sort of get like, yeah, he's been there for 14 seasons or whatever, and maybe just they both need a fresh start somewhere else.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what the Kentucky recruiting class does. You know, they had a really highly ranked class. A lot of those guys are asking out of their letters of intent.
Jaden Quaintance.
Including... Jaden Quaintance.
Mizzou was in on him and was like a finalist
I think, yeah, they were the top two.
Yeah, with Kentucky, and he chose Kentucky. Now, back on the menu, and maybe Coach Gates has a chance. Maybe he just follows Calipari to Arkansas. Maybe he goes somewhere else entirely. Who knows? Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see who Kentucky ends up with. Scott Drew, I think they've already reached out to him, though. Mm. That's what kind of what made me think they're going to move quick on this. If Scott Drew is interested, then it'll be wrapped up pretty quick, I think. Last little bit of basketball stuff I have. Did you see your guy, Robbie Avila, is in the transfer portal?
Like the entire Indiana State team is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their coach took the job at St. Louis. So all these coaches are kind of moving in on our recruiting territory here.
Yeah. It's a good fit. I think St. Louis, I mean, that's a good hire for them.
I think they made him the second highest paid coach in the Atlantic 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he turned down the Louisville job, I read.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's what I read. All right. Anything else basketball before we move on?
Does Louisville just have those like boosters you just don't want to deal with or something? I mean, what?
They got something going on there.
What's that all about? Kenny Payne didn't do so well there.
No.
They were atrocious.
I think they're cursed by the ghost of Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino, successful at Kentucky. Maybe they want to bring him back.
Maybe.
He's just really just working his way back up to a potentially a premier job.
Well, it depends on if they want to have an honor mantra.
That's true.
Yeah. If they do, then that's not going to work.
Right. He's a low honor individual, you're saying?
Yeah.
Rick Pitino. I've heard that.
I'd say that, yeah.
I've heard that about him. Yeah, only honorable people around here, I say. Okay, moving on to football. Biggest news of the week is the quarterback that we landed. One little tidbit before that, it was announced that Ryan Horstkamp, Kyron Montgomery, and Michael Cox are in the portal, departing from Mizzou football.
Yeah. I think anytime you follow recruiting as closely as we do, it's tough to see guys transfer. Even after a couple of years of inactivity, I think it's still a bummer whenever you have high hopes for guys. And I think especially Kyron Montgomery, I think everybody had high hopes for him. And, you know, I think he tore his ACL, and he at times maybe wasn't sure what position he was going to play. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just didn't quite work out. And I'm sure he's still very talented and might, you know, end up somewhere else and play well somewhere else. But so bummer to see that happen. Obviously Ryan Horstkamp had some good moments, but has some issues on the depth chart right now with the tight ends. But obviously that's a good problem to have for Mizzou.
Yeah.
And Michael Cox, man, that's a strange story where, you know, at one point I thought he might have a pretty successful career at Missouri, just bringing something different than we've seen, just an absolute beast of a running back. But
multiple time spring game MVP.
That's absolutely true. But yeah, good luck to those guys. And that's kind of just the name of the game right now. It's kind of churning them in and out, unfortunately.
He should be allowed to make an appearance in every Mizzou spring game, like regardless.
Just come back. And,
yeah.
Like an alumni
spring game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alumni appearance.
Kyron Montgomery, yeah, you talked about him, but the fact that we were like getting little updates on him every once in a while, he was like, you know,
yeah, he was a 4-star recruit.
Yeah.
He was like probably one of the highest ranked recruits of that class. Was it
2021?
I think it was the same class as like Dalen Carnell. I think he and Carnell were like the two heavy hitters in that class, at least recruiting rankings wise.
In 2021 class, like not very many of those guys still around.
I think there's only like two players from that class are here. One of those being Carnell.
Great. Yeah. Worked out for him.
Yeah.
Okay. So the big news of the week, Matt Zollers, quarterback out of Pennsylvania, commits to Mizzou. We apparently didn't have our fingers on the pulse of this recruitment. It was the first commitment of the 2025 season for Missouri, getting things kicked off. And apparently it was Mizzou all the way on that one, even despite the Georgia visit, the Alabama visit. I think Coach Drinkwitz showed it doesn't matter who he's up against and where the player's from. He's got the NIL. He's got the brotherhood pitch. He's got everything he needs to land a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is a good lesson for sure, like, to just not doubt Drink anymore. Yeah. Like, we are a player in the recruiting game. We have a seat at the table. We have a pitch to make no matter who you are. And I think, obviously, we learned that lesson this week whenever we doubted him. And I think the national media needs to learn that lesson, because the sentiment was still very much Georgia, really, all the way up until the day he committed. And I think there was still a lot of uncertainty the morning of the day he committed. So, I still think there were a lot of people that didn't know exactly how this was going to shake out. But I'm sure the Missouri people would tell you, the insiders would tell you that they knew Zollers was probably going to be a Tiger.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Coach Drink was probably the most confident person that morning. The Wilt Fong prediction came out sometime the morning of his announcement. And
would have been after we recorded.
That's true. So, but I think that just tells you, like, Coach Drinkwitz and camp probably felt really good about this.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about their reaction to him taking those last minute visits, but then coming home anyway.
Yeah.
And how satisfying that had to have been for the coaching staff.
For sure. Yeah. Knowing that Zollers was on campus at these other places, knowing I'm not going here.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
Like, my heart's at Mizzou.
He got to tell them no in person.
Oh, yeah. But talking about the player that Missouri just landed is incredibly exciting. Speaking of satisfying, you know, we've watched a little bit of, you know, some Penn State stuff. He's from Pennsylvania.
Right.
I think Penn State never was in this recruitment, right, and I think they know that. But it's still pretty satisfying to see it from another fan base's perspective that Missouri is a dominant force in recruiting right now.
And that's been the story, like, everywhere you look, that has been the story of this announcement. Like, the aftermath of it is, like, everybody's just going, you start paying attention to Mizzou. This is legit. That what Mizzou is doing is real.
Yeah.
And coming off the back of the season that they had, you know, this is just kind of like re-emphasizing, we're here to play.
Not a one-hit wonder. But anyways, Matt Zollers legitimately looks like maybe the best quarterback prospect that Missouri's landed since Drew Locke, in my opinion. And honestly, they have a kind of a similar play style. Zollers is 6'4", over 200 pounds. He has a huge arm. He's very mobile. He plays against good competition for the most part. He is legitimately a fantastic, well-rounded quarterback prospect that I think will probably end up being a five-star by the time it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
And probably looks like a guy who's on the trajectory to be an NFL prospect, the way, like, with his body type and his arm and the way he kind of manipulates the pocket. He's so good at moving around and kind of waiting for guys to get open. He has, like, this really good chemistry with his wide receivers. And, man, he's really fun to watch. But, I mean, he had a couple throws on his tape where, you know, he just bombs it downfield. I think the ball's in the air for 50, 60 yards, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, he's making NFL throws as, you know, a 17-year-old kid. So, immediately, already have very high hopes for Zollers, and I think he has the chance to play pretty early at Missouri.
Yeah, I wish, immediately my mind goes to, like, the classes and, like, how it stacks up with Brady Cook. Are there some ambiguity about how many years of eligibility he has left?
Yeah.
And then the situation with Sam Horn. I was actually looking back at the last three recruiting classes. So Sam Horn was a part of the 2022 class from Missouri that was ranked 18th in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. 2023, Missouri's class was ranked 32nd and had Jabari Johnson as a quarterback. And then 2024, that most recent one, was ranked 21st in the country and has Aiden Glover as the top quarterback in the class. So Coach Drink is just, every class, we're going and getting a quarterback that you can see potentially being a starter eventually. And I feel like Zollers is now the best one as a recruit in that list so far.
Yeah, by a long shot, in my opinion. And, you know, we talk about this every single time that Missouri lands a quarterback, but it's worth reiterating every single time, especially when the quarterback is like the first commitment of the entire class, that the quarterback affects everybody. Mm-hmm. And it affects recruiting more so than any other position. Like, just like it really probably does on the field too. Mm-hmm. It's the most important position in recruiting too. And when guys see that Missouri is making a huge statement with a really talented guy that everybody respects, like Zollers, like Luther Burden a couple of classes ago,
yeah,
it is like a domino effect. And we're already hearing about some big names that are now taking a serious look at Missouri. And I think this summer, you know, this spring and summer could be really, really fun. Again, like we saw a couple of recruiting classes ago.
Yeah. So I'm starting to compile my list of names to watch for 2025 across all positions. And we'll talk more about them next week and sort of get into the details more there. But the stuff that I'm seeing, it is absolutely the domino effect. And like a month ago or the last few weeks, there's been some chirping on Twitter, like other fan bases pointing at zero commitments for Mizzou. It's still so early in the spring, but yeah, this is the first commitment of the 2025 class. And it makes a little bit more sense now why there haven't been any commitments up to this point, because Missouri had to feel good about this.
Yeah. When you're trying to reel in the bigger fish, it takes a little bit longer.
Yeah. And it's sort of, there's a bit of a plan that they're trying to unfurl here.
Yeah.
And step one is complete now. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. I wasn't like super locked into 2025 recruiting yet. And this is...
You will be now.
Oh man, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Because it feels like the trajectory from here on out is like, I'm looking back at 18th class ranking, number 18 in the country in 2022, 21st last year. I'm wondering, can we top that? Can we get close to top 15? And there's some names out there that we'll talk about next week that could go a long ways making that happen.
For sure. Yeah, this is extremely early. We've got one recruit that is committed, but absolutely kind of has that. I got that feeling in my gut, like we might be looking at a pretty special class.
Yeah. Mizzou football in a good place right now.
The best place.
Yeah. it's kind of insane how much positivity is around the football team right now, considering like the athletic department as a whole is experiencing some turbulence.
Borderline in shambles.
Yes. And it kind of just, we are allowed to just kind of overlook it and not really think about it too much because Coach Drink has everything locked down. Baseball team's doing good, though, I saw. I'm not going to pretend to know anything about it.
They swept Florida.
They stayed. That's true. I do know that. Yeah, so riding high off of that commitment. And, yeah, Drink did it again. No more doubting him. Do you feel bad for, like, the state school at Pennsylvania or like some of these other states that don't have an SEC team that just, it feels like we've been in this place as Mizzou fans. We see Notre Dame coming in, Oklahoma coming in, Tennessee coming in and just trying to, you know, pull kids out of St. Louis and mm-hmm. Kansas City. And I don't know, it feels nice Mizzou being in the position to go to some random state and get their best player.
That's weirdly been like, you mentioned it a couple weeks ago. This is something that Drinkwitz specifically has been so good at, where he will, like, we don't have recruiting footprints anymore. Yeah. That doesn't exist. Like, he'll just go grab a random five-star quarterback from Pennsylvania, you know, or whatever. Like, I don't know. It's like, there's no, like, we get 75% of our class from Texas or this state or this pipeline. It's everybody's fair game. We are going to look under every single rock and we're going to find who wants to be here.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, it seems like maybe it doesn't really extend to the West Coast, but Jabari Johnson from the state of Washington was exactly that.
Right.
Completely random from Washington.
Yeah.
And obviously he transferred, but
yeah,
it's just, he signed. Mm-hmm. All right. So excitement all around for that. College basketball season officially over. That's a little bit sad, but holy cow, am I ready to turn the page for Mizzou basketball.
Yeah.
And
yeah, Missouri basketball put out like a video of like, you know, did you see that?
I saw them put out a senior video for Caleb Grill.
Oh, really?
Senior spotlight video, like 4 days ago. I didn't know what that was about. The replies were all like,
"What is this?
This is a little late."
Yeah.
And it wasn't like an I'm coming back announcement. Sorry, but what were you saying?
Just that they were turning the page, just saying like the new season starts today, basically.
Yes,
like,
I saw that.
Okay, I'm on board with that.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I definitely want some clarity on what the roster is going to look like sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we haven't really had much movement in the last, I mean, it's probably been 3 or 4 weeks now since we got the first transfer commit.
And I mean, even just like knowing whether Tanjay and Grill are going to be back would be helpful. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're in a weird place where it's like you need every player to announce their intentions for the next year or else nobody knows what's going on. Like in the past, it wouldn't make sense for Tamar Bates to like make an official announcement, but now it almost feels like...
You need like yearly announcements.
Exactly.
Whether you're staying or leaving.
Right. We especially need to know if Caleb Brown's coming back.
That's true.
All right, we're probably done here. All right, we'll wrap this up. Let's see here. Special thank you to our Patreon supporters at the $10 level and above. Britt Treese, Brian Smith, Ryan DeMore, Tristan, Ben Smith, Parker, Daddy JD, Tim Keens, Tyler Harsel, Brandon Groffalo, Brandon Hanks, Matthew Tilly, Lewis Hernandez, Joshua Jacobson, and Dr. Ben Carson. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. We love you so much. You can find this podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We're on Twitter at Mizzou Sports Pod, and you can email us at MissouriSportsPod@gmail.com.
You can find our t-shirts and stickers on our online shop, MissouriSportsPod.BigCartel.com.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next week.